All right. Hi, everyone. Good to see you all. And this is Dr. Will Tuttle. I'm delighted to be able to connect this way. We are on the road traveling. We're heading back now after 4 months of being on the road in our little microvan, heading back to California from Florida. So today is Thursday, March 17th, 2022. And this is our third Thursday World Peace Diet Circle call. And I'm just really grateful for this opportunity to get together with you all. So thanks for joining in and taking time out of your busy schedules to be here. So if there's anything you'd like to say to me, we are recording. Go ahead and put it into the chat. If my volume isn't good or whatever, I'm doing the best I can here, but good. So thank you, Lisa, so much for helping out as a co-host. That really is wonderful. I really appreciate your doing that. We have a lot to talk about, as usual. Every month there's always a lot to talk about, and there's so many changes and things happening in the world, in the vegan world, in the vegan community. And, of course, world peace is a big part of the focus of our mission as vegans. It's a spiritual approach that's looking at the big picture of the consequences of animal agriculture. And, of course, we see that unfolding all around us and the things that are happening in the world for us as individuals and as societies, as communities, are always, I think, challenging and disturbing on many levels. But these are what we have to work with and to learn to be discerning, to learn to look deeply and understand what's actually happening, and to remember the animals in all of this too, to see the deeper patterns that are happening. I think that's important. So welcome. It's great to see you. And I think people have pretty much joined us, at least a good number, and we'll have probably more coming in here. It's just pretty much the top of the hour. We are now in Alabama. We just arrived in Alabama a couple hours ago, and it's great to be here. It's the weather's nice. I think what I'll do is I'll go ahead and get started with our meditation, which is something that we have kind of a tradition of doing at the beginning. Do that first, and then open it up for a discussion of some of the topics that are on our hearts and on our minds. This is a chance to raise any questions you may have, get clarifications, or say whatever you want to say. This is just us, World Peace Diet facilitators, getting together here. So it's a wonderful opportunity to learn from each other and to share ideas. So let's go ahead and get started with the meditation time. And then we can go into some of the other things that have been happening and what we've been up to over the last month and what maybe you all have noticed and been up to over the last month as well. All right. So for the meditation, feel free, however you like to do it. If you would like to leave your camera on, that's fine, or turn it off. Everybody's automatically muted just so we don't get extraneous noises. And hopefully you're all getting a notification by email of our meetings. That's an ongoing issue. If you're not getting email notifications, send me an email and I will re-enter your email address into our system so that you have a better chance of getting it. It could be going into your spam or junk folder and you're not seeing it. That's the big problem nowadays. They're very, very tough to get through some of these filters nowadays. So anyway, but I'll do my best to make sure everybody's on it that would like to be. So, all right, let's go ahead and start our time together and begin by taking a moment and connecting with our breathing, Our breath is such an important part of our spirituality and of our physical life. It's the bridge in many ways between the material and the spiritual domains, the breath, our breathing. It's something that's obviously both conscious and unconscious. If we're focused on something, we just breathe without thinking about it. And yet we can focus on our breathing. We can extend our breaths. We can hold our breaths. And when we breathe, we connect, of course, with the whole cosmos, with all the plants that are exhaling oxygen as we exhale carbon dioxide, which helps them to build their trunks and leaves and fruits and roots and so forth. So we're in a symbiotic, very beneficial, mutually beneficial relationship with the whole living web of life. And it's really our breathing that is the primary way, or one of the ways, one of the main ways that we engage in this interconnection of not only matter like carbon and oxygen and hydrogen and so forth, but also of energy and consciousness. We're breathing out water constantly. And water, as we are beginning to learn, is far more than perhaps just a physical object, but also contains the ability to carry consciousness and energy. So we open our minds and our hearts now to the situation in our life right now, to the situation as it is unfolding every day. And we give thanks for everything. We give thanks for the challenges that may be arising. We give thanks for the opportunities that are arising. We give thanks for the blessings. And however it appears in the outer world, we give thanks, knowing that we are only on this earth for a very short time in the big picture of things in this particular incarnation. So that every day is a precious opportunity to be of service and to contribute and to develop our abilities, our faculties, to learn to grow deeper and to understand what's actually happening, not only in our world, but also within the being that we are and in the unique constellation of thoughts and feelings and ideas and aspirations and spiritual evolution that is manifesting as this being that we identify with. When we look in the mirror, we say, oh yeah, that's me. So, oh, okay. So who is this? Who is this me that we see in the mirror? When we look into the eyes of that one looking back at us in the mirror, that's really the question. Who's looking out of those eyes? What is it? So we just open our minds and hearts to a deeper understanding of our true nature, a deeper understanding of what we are, not as merely a physical body as an embodiment, but as the infinite and profoundly eternal consciousness that we are. And we also give thanks for the opportunity to see this in others as well. So let's do that right now. Let's just breathe together. We talked about this, I think, earlier. Breathing together literally means to conspire. So we're breathing together. We're conspiring to create a more evolved and joy-filled and liberated experience of life for ourselves, for our loved ones, for the whole human family, and for the whole web of life, for all living beings, that we may all awaken to our true nature and that we may contribute to that. So we're breathing together now. We're giving thanks for the message, for the cause of veganism, and for the opportunity to serve this liberating cause, this liberating message, that no being is superior and can dominate or exploit another, that we are all expressions of life and we hold each other with respect and a sense of kindness and a sense of tenderness and appreciation for all expressions of life, whatever they may be. understanding that they're all creations of the divine, infinite, eternal mind, heart, being that births all living beings. And that as we love and understand more deeply the source of our life, we love and understand more deeply the source of all living beings and the expression of all living beings around us as our brothers and sisters on the path of awakening, whatever the outer appearance may be, that we are here to mutually aid each other, as the great biologist Kropotkin from Russia said. And it's very interesting that we have these alternative viewpoints and perspectives in science. Many of them actually do come from Russia, where we see mutual cooperation in the natural world rather than seeing competition and struggle for survival. So much of the way we experience our world is due to our perspective and due to our training, due to our programming. So right now we open to the aspect of our consciousness that is beyond this training and programming, that shines radiantly at the very core of our being with joy and with a sense of awareness and understanding, witnessing our life, witnessing what's happening around us with wisdom and compassion. We know that in a certain level, we are this being who is aware of what's arising and the appearances around us. And so we open our hearts now to the tremendous joy that is our true nature and the healing power of our awareness to heal what is ever happening in our life right now, what's ever happening in our physical body, whatever is happening perhaps in our mind or in the body of our affairs. Any difficulties or challenges that we may be facing, we know that they are all for a purpose, for us to learn and grow, and that in many ways they are a mirror of something deeper for us to understand more clearly. The same thing is true in the outer world. We're seeing the outer world as a mirror so that we can learn and grow, and instead of fighting and attacking or blaming or criticizing other expressions of life, we can learn to see them as expressions that are helping us to understand ourselves more clearly, understand the fullness of what we are more fully. So we breathe together and relax into this moment, smiling a little bit internally, a smile which is simply of inner peace and harmony. And we hold now all of the non-human animals, especially in our heart. We can smile even a little bit more, knowing how much we love and appreciate them, their companionship, their neighborliness in our world, all of the companion animals who are so vigorously and enthusiastically present in our lives, in our human world. They jump right in many ways to teach us things that we have a difficulty understanding perhaps from other humans, the sense of nobility, of loyalty, of dedication, of humility, of pure love that we can learn from the animals, the non-human animals around us, the magnificent capacities that we see displayed in the free living animals around us and their uncanny abilities to engage in behaviors that bring them joy, that connect them in a positive way with the natural world, that they're part of a living, breathing system that's been going on for millions of years, celebrating life right here in ways that we have not begun to really comprehend with our materialistic science. So we open now to a higher level of understanding of animals, a higher level of understanding of their purpose, of their true being, of their relationship with each other and with us, and realize that as we open to creating a world of vegan living, a world where peace and freedom and justice and equality and sustainability, kindness and caring are actually not only possible, but are the very foundation of our world, that this vegan world is actually manifesting. It is ultimately triumphant. That every day that goes by, this vegan world is getting one day closer to manifesting. It is absolutely certain that it is on the way, and that we are here to help to bring this into fruition through our own example, through our studies, our efforts, our conversations, our creations, our struggles, and everything that we're doing is to help bring about a world of ahimsa, to help bring about the birthing of the species Homo ahimsa, as Judy Carman says, the being who lives to be a being of compassion and of kindness, of nonviolence. So we feel right now this, as we breathe together, this awareness that we are living always in unity with the animals of this earth, fundamentally in consciousness and with other human beings, and that we're here to contribute in our own unique way to the unfolding of a more aware and harmonious way of living and understanding and reflecting life through us. So this is our time. The many outer aspects of chaos that we hear about and see unfolding in the media around us. We know our aspects of the animal agriculture mentality of domination and exploitation of nature, of animals, and of the sacred feminine. And we stand firmly rooted in our awareness that we are aligned with loving kindness, with harmony, and with the purpose of helping to promote the sacred feminine and the sacred masculine, the sacred foundations of life, not only in our world, but in our own being. And so now at the end of our meditation, let's just relax more deeply and into a sense of perfection, knowing that the vegan world is manifesting more and more every day, that the deep harmony and love that we have for each other and for all beings, and that all beings have for all beings, that is at a deep level always present. So we give thanks for this, and we allow every breath to just feed the sense of love as we breathe out and exhale. We exhale love and kindness, benevolence and goodwill, and we radiate this to every expression of life. Let's just breathe and radiate love together into the web of life on this earth, to all animals, to all the, not only the wild, free-living animals, but to all of the imprisoned and abused animals in factory farms, slaughterhouses, vivisection laboratories, wherever animals are used or abused, in puppy mills and entertainment and so forth. Just sending them our love, our appreciation, and the sense of gratitude that we have for their expression of life and their willingness to sacrifice their own well-being. So that we honor them, we witness what they're going through, and we yearn to help relieve their suffering and liberate them and all beings from delusion and from the violence that comes from delusion. So breathing and radiating loving kindness to all of the animals of the world, to all of the human beings, whether they're our friends or whether they're a challenge for us, we just send everybody loving kindness. We send everyone in every dimension of life compassion. We give thanks knowing that compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere, that all living beings are bathed in the light of compassion that the whole earth is bathed in the light of peace and freedom and joy. So we just see the earth now bathed in this light. The truth of our earth is that it is always in harmony, no matter what it looks like in the outer dimension. At a deeper level, there is the beauty and the harmony and the abundance of life right here. But that is the spiritual truth and the spiritual reality. So we're radiating from our heart, loving kindness in all directions, compassion in all directions, joy in all directions, and peace in all directions, and abiding ourselves in loving kindness and compassion, in joy and in peace, and allowing ourselves to open to the pain of the world, to the fear that people and animals are experiencing, understanding that these are very real in the experience of many beings, sending our compassion and our willingness and yearning to help relieve their fear and their suffering, and to contribute to helping to raise awareness on this earth through articulating the truth, through satyagraha, as Gandhi called it, the power of truth, and to speak our truth and to hold others in kindness and respect. So breathing together one last time, we give thanks for this beautiful opportunity of a human life. We give thanks knowing that we're part of the awakening of humanity at this critical juncture. And we give thanks knowing that each and every one of us, as we go forth from this Zoom call this afternoon, this evening, will be every day more fully embodied in what veganism is as loving kindness, wisdom and joy and abundance and awareness, and that our life will become every day more and more a living expression of the vegan ideals of loving kindness, of respecting the sovereignty of all beings, including our own sovereignty, and our creativity, and rising to the occasion, that we, each one of us, is rising to meet the challenges that we see around us, that every organ and every dimension of our life is getting stronger, is getting more filled with the life force to bring beautiful truths through us to bless the world, that every cell in our body and every dimension of our consciousness and our mind is radiating joy and health and freedom and creativity with a purpose to be a light, to be a beacon to those who are perhaps yearning for some light in their lives. So we give thanks knowing that as we go forth, we will continue to deepen our awareness and to work together to create a world that cares for everyone, that cares for all expressions of life in a profound way, and that we will continue to discern the truth from the false, the real from the unreal, and be a source of inspiration and kindness for others. Give thanks knowing this is so, and so it is. Okay, so bless you all. Thanks so much for your kind attention and presence in our meditation. So here we are, and it's, as I said earlier, it's an honor to be able to be with you. I'm hoping that my computer is keeping up with everything here. So So thanks for joining us. I want to say just a few words about what we've been doing over the last month, and then open it up to general questions. So Madeline and I are right now in Alabama. Some of you who came in late, so you didn't hear about all that, but we're right now we're in Alabama. And basically, since we were last together, we were in Florida. We were in South Florida. We had been at the Hippocrates Health Institute in our little microvan for a couple of months. And then we left and we did some lecture events in South Florida, some veg fests, and also at a vegan restaurant in Naples, and then at a yoga studio in St. Petersburg. We met some really wonderful people through Hippocrates. So we set up these lectures promoting vegan living and a little bit also talking about health freedom as well. So it was just a beautiful time of meeting people and sharing ideas. And spent some time after that, a couple more veg fests, one in Ocala, a couple of them actually, Ocala, Gainesville area. And then I visited my sister for a few days. We did some wonderful kayaking on some Florida rivers, spring-fed rivers. It was really beautiful. There's a river that comes out of a place called Alexander Springs. So we get to know that really well and kayaked in the pouring rain and the blazing sun and thunder and lightning, all kinds of things. And then we left my sister about a week ago. And then we did five lectures in 5 days. That's what we've done the last 5 days. And that's gone actually very well. The first event was in Jacksonville, Florida. It was the Veg Fest. And unfortunately, there was a lot of rain. It was very cold. So not that many people showed up at the Veg Fest, but still had a good time. Met some wonderful folks, very committed vegans there that were bringing the message. And I gave an hour-long presentation there. And then we drove up to Charleston, South Carolina, and gave a lecture at a yoga studio there by a longtime vegan friend of ours, she promoted that. And it was wonderful to be able to be with people and give that lecture. And then we went up to Hickory, North Carolina, where there was a factory. They make abrasives. So they have about 130 people. And the owner of the factory, we met at Hippocrates, he and his wife, and they're vegans, very healthy vegans. And all the workers eat meat and dairy, of course, but he has to pay for their health insurance. And so he wants to try to save some money. So he asked me to give a lecture to 130 employees, and which I did, promoting the vegan way of living. And we had about 30 people that came in from the outside also. It was promoted in the outside Hickory, North Carolina. So it was really a lot of fun. And our friend Jeff came and recorded it. So we have a couple of recordings. I can give you the links for those, because the following day we went to Asheville, North Carolina. And again, it was three women from the Hippocrates Health Institute who set up a lecture in Asheville, North Carolina, actually in Black Mountain, which is right outside Asheville, overlooking a lake. We did that. And then last night we went down to Atlanta and gave a lecture there. With some through some people we've known for years at another yoga studio, and these all went really well. We were able to meet many people and promote the vegan cause last night. And then we drove from Atlanta to our friend Bob. I think you know Bob Stagnito, some of you. He was on our call about a year ago, and he's a very interesting guy. And I think I'm going to have him on again, because he's an acupuncturist and very savvy about virology and bacteria and how they're not really our enemies. We had a very fascinating conversation, and it went on and on. It went on for like an hour and a half. We finally had to stop. But anyway, we're staying at his house right now. I'm in his spare bedroom, I guess, right now. We just got here about an hour ago. And we've been staying the entire 4 months in our little tiny micro van, and that's been quite an adventure too. It's exactly what, 7 feet by 6 feet, 42 square feet. We're living in 42 square feet and it's 3 feet high. So it's really funny. But anyway, we're good at living in a tiny box. I guess we're going to maybe we've been caged hens in a prior life. I don't know. We learned to get along with each other and not peck at each other too much in our little, our little tiny cage. But we get out and walk around and take swims in the, we've been taking a swim in the ocean every day. I think I was the only one swimming a couple of days ago in Charleston when it was 40 degrees out but in the ocean. But anyway, we love nature and we've been using it to, the little van to help connect with nature more. And so now we're heading back over the next couple of days. We're just going to drive all the way to Tucson and and just meet some people there. And then we're going to be doing a workshop on the World Peace Diet in Phoenix at the Soul Center, actually in Mesa, Arizona, in about a week or so. I think it's on Saturday, a week from this Saturday. It's a wonderful place in Mesa. And that'll be a workshop on the World Peace Diet. And then we'll be going up through Sedona and then going home. So we'll be home in about 10 days back in California. So that's what we've been up to lately. And it's a lot to just try to keep up with things. It's a little difficult being on the road to get internet access and so forth. So we've been spending a little bit more time, in nature and just getting to know people as we travel, meeting lots of great people. And so that's basically it. So I think, from my point of view, our movement, the vegan movement, is the most, probably in some ways, I think the most important movement there is in terms of getting to the root of the problems that we're having. I think our vegan movement is also being challenged enormously. We're having, after 2 years of this whole pandemic narrative being bandied about everywhere and really in many ways a direct attack on the vegan movement. We now have this whole war happening in Ukraine, which is also seems to be dividing people a lot too. Everything seems to be about dividing people. So I think it's really important for us to have discernment, to try to look beyond the surface of things, not believe whatever the mainstream media is telling us, which seems to be a challenge for many people, and to understand more deeply what's actually going on. So, and toward that end, I was thinking of maybe just hearing, if it's okay with Judy Carman. I think you're here, Judy. Yeah. You wrote a nice article and you did something that I was not able to do. You went and kind of got a little bit of a view of the trucker movement, which we had, of course, the Canadian truckers and now there's the U.S. truckers. As they went near your house where you live in Kansas. So I was wondering if maybe you could just share with everybody a little bit of your thoughts about what they're doing and how that relates to what we're all up to here with homo ahimsa and freedom and health and veganism and all that kind of stuff. If there are actually connections that we can make there, because I think This is history in the making here, and it's very I think it's not being reported. A lot of stuff is just not being reported. So we have to be citizen journalists, I think, in many ways, and tell each other what's happening. So, Judy, what's up? What can you say about that? Yeah,
You're right. Being citizen journalists, and there were people who went all the way with the truckers from California to D.C. as journalists. And filming things and reporting back on the Children's Health Defense Network and different places. We actually drove down to Big Cabin, Oklahoma, because they weren't coming through here. They were going through the southern part of Missouri. You have to go different places to try to find out where they are, what they're doing. But we found out they were going to be coming into Big Cabin, Oklahoma, that night. And so we made a bunch of signs and I made one that said Team Vegan for Truckers and Freedom. And we put that on the car when we were stopped, because it was big, long. It covered the windshield. So, and then we had American flag, and which is a kind of a new thing for me, and all kinds of signs that we made. And so when we got to Big Cabin, there were cars lined up along this wow. one highway, pointing towards Highway 40 as they were coming in. And so everybody, I mean, people were so excited. It was just a wow. phenomenal sight to see all those people. And so we parked and then walked up to where the truckers would come off the highway, the off ramp, and because they were going to spend the night there. And so I'm up there, and there are hundreds and hundreds of people.
Wow.
People with food to give to the truckers and to give to each other, and all kinds of flags, Canadian flags, American flags, freedom flags, all
right.
sorts of things. And just tremendous excitement, and little kids with their signs standing up on the back of cars and trucks and stuff, waiting for the truckers. And pretty soon, here they came. They started coming off the ramp. And I mean, it gave you chills, because the truckers were honking, the people were yelling, we were all going, thank you, truckers.
Yeah.
And it was just the most beautiful thing. Mm. And these, you know, big tough guys and of course women, there's some women truck drivers too.
Yeah.
That had big signs on their trucks and about freedom. And, some of them had been with them all the way from California, which started out at 8 miles long. By the time it got to us, it was 12 miles long.
Wow.
So, anyway, that was very exciting. And then they spent the night there, and, then we got up early the next morning, and I found we know Joplin pretty well, and we knew they were going to go through Joplin on I-44. So I found a bridge that goes over I-44, and we parked there, and sure enough, I would say at least 150 people joined us on that bridge. Everybody with some of the huge flags and little flags, all size flags, and big signs that the truckers could see when they went under that said, thank you, truckers. Because the perception and the reality is that they were taking time off from work, or maybe even losing their jobs, definitely
right.
losing money. And right. In order to show the world that they drive for freedom, that they're willing to make sacrifices for freedom. And they gave a lot of credit to the Canadian truckers for giving them the idea. And, there were other convoys also. There was one that started in Colorado and then some other places too. It was kind of hard to find out all of them, because as you pointed out, the news, it's hard to find out, the actual details, because things keep getting hidden or not reported at all. And we didn't see any news reporters from regular, news stations. So then we got back in the car and we joined the convoy and we drove with them. And that was really exciting too, because all along the way, every single bridge that had access for people, covered with people and flags and signs. And all along, not all along, but many places along the side of the road, there were people yelling and saying thank you and all that. I mean, it was just, like you said, historic. I mean, completely historic. We were in the middle of an historic event of beautiful satyagraha. And I have said, if Gandhi were a trucker, he would have been there, because it's just his style, you know, in a funny sort of way. It was a salt march in trucks, time.
Right.
And they were willing, some of them that were interviewed, they were asking, you know, are you worried for yourself? And they said, it doesn't matter. If we get arrested, we have to do whatever it takes, but mm-hmm. we will not be violent. And so I just followed them every day after we got home online to see where they were. And by the time they got to D.C., they were 60 miles long.
Wow.
And
great.
So they were circling D.C. They weren't blockading anything. And then I hope everybody got to see, or if they haven't, definitely try to find it online, where Senator Ron Johnson and Senator from Texas, you remember his name?
Yeah, I know exactly who you mean.
It's a short name. But anyway, the two of them had all these truckers come and...
Is it Marco Rubio?
No.
Oh, it's...
No.
Not...
Oh, gosh.
I know who you mean. I know exactly. Yeah. I saw him speaking. Yeah, he was great.
Okay. Yeah. He actually rode around with the truckers.
Yeah, he was...
At one point. Yeah. Right. But anyway, they let all the truckers speak, and there was one young man, oh my gosh, it was very emotional, and I won't go into the whole story, but very, very emotional, lots of tears, and they were so grateful that these senators would speak to them. They went there to talk to the legislators,
right?
And only those two, so far as I know, so far. But anyway, that's worth searching.
Ted Cruz.
That's it. Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
So that's worth looking up and watching for sure. And so anyway, it was just really wonderful. Made you feel like, yeah, we can do this. As far as finding any vegans there, there was one family that went by, yay, vegans. but other than that, there wasn't a lot of that. There were people, with hot dogs and stuff, to hand out. So
right.
we got a lot of work to do there, but, the connection is so deep, and I think all of them are looking for more answers, just like we are, the whole health freedom movement. So anyway, it was great to be a little tiny part of that.
And you wrote an article, right? An essay.
I
think.
Yeah. Marlene Nero interviewed me.
Mm.
And so there's actually two articles on my website, which is peacetoallbeings.com. So there's, I think, the link to her interview of me. She interviewed me while I was there in Big Cabin. And then the other article is one I wrote before we went. So you're welcome to go look at those. And there's pictures, too.
Right, right. I just think that's really quite, it's so great that you could be there. Was anyone else involved? I mean, does anyone else have any comments or questions for Judy about her citizen journalism and you're an embedded journalist.
I am. Yeah.
You're right there in the whole thick of it. Yeah, I think that's really very interesting. And what you said about the positive, uplifting kind of energy, that they weren't yelling profanities or anything like that. It was about being grateful and standing up for freedom. I know,
right.
it's funny to me that I don't think, for some reason, many vegans make these connections. It's like they don't think that freedom's important. It's all about freedom. I mean, we want the animals to be free, and we want us to, we can't free the animals if we're not free. And it seems like people don't see how serious what's been happening over the last couple of years really is. And that's very disappointing, obviously. We've talked about this before. But it's also great to see people absolutely willing to risk as you say, you know, all kinds of things, their reputations, their jobs, their financial security, and all these things on behalf of their children and of our society and of a better world for everyone. And I would hope that these people would also be open-minded to liberate animals too, right? I mean, to let animals live their lives. If we want to be free, and we know that and we feel that, how important that is, that we would do our best not to imprison, not to do to others what we wouldn't want to have done to us, right? The golden rule, basically, is the thing.
Yeah, that's the other side of the coin of freedom, that we have that beautiful message for them, the truckers and everyone, that as long as Tolstoy said, as long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be wars. And of course, this is a war upon humanity, as we know. Not to mention the other wars going on, but this is definitely a war of totalitarianism against us, cleverly disguised as a disease. And but it's the same message that Tolstoy had. There's going to be totalitarianism, tyranny for humans as long as we tyrannize animals.
Right.
So that's the side of the coin that we need to communicate. And then they've got this other side of the coin of freedom for all people. So together, we need their help. And they need ours. So it's a great team, really.
Right.
I listened to a little interview of a guy who's walking across America. I'm not sure what his destination is. Uh-huh. I didn't hear that part, but he is walking in order to raise money for all the healthcare workers who have lost their jobs because they refused to get the jab. And I thought, wow, you know, that's another really great example of just standing up and walking for freedom or driving for freedom. Yeah.
Right.
There's so many ways to do it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It's very inspiring and it's great to hear. So does anyone else want to add anything to that, any of this or whatever? I have quite a bit of other stuff I'd like to just sort of mention here and during our time together. But these are the challenges we're facing. Yes, Anne, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how it's worked out financially for the truckers in this country, if they've received donations safely, or if there's a way to donate. I haven't heard anything about that. And I'm sure Biden wouldn't hesitate to imitate them.
Right. Will, you know the place to donate, right? I actually donated to, it was on the Children's Health Defense website about the truckers. And it was some sort of legal defense group, and they were going to make sure the money got to the truckers. But if you go to Children's Health Defense and update trucker updates, things like that, you can find it. But Will, you had another place, or was that for Canada?
I don't know. I was on their mailing list, so I would get letters, emails asking for. You know, they were saying, I can't remember what it was, but they were saying it costs, $50 to go 50 miles, I don't know what it was, 25 miles or 50 miles, something like that. So they really needed funds to just buy fuel and to get them across. So, we gave them some donations, but I didn't hear any, it wasn't like this huge outpouring of millions of dollars like it was in Canada. And I think the Canadian government was so hostile and so embarrassed. I think the Canadian government was really embarrassed by the tremendous response that the Canadian truckers got, that they kind of showed their true face and started stealing their money, as we all know, which was even... You know, it actually helped our cause quite a bit. I mean, when you see people, when we saw even like GoFundMe wouldn't give the money to the Canadian truckers. And then they started, attacking their, you know, taking money out of their accounts, and they did all kinds of, you know, people, and even people that donated to the Canadian truckers started having their accounts compromised. Money was taken out. I mean, it was really one of those things where they started even having runs on some of the Canadian banks. People were saying, we're going to take our money out of the banks. So then suddenly the World Economic Forum sort of jumped in, and I guess their boy there up in Canada had gone a little too far, and they said, no, don't do that. But I think the, you know, we can see sort of through some of these things that the bankers and the people behind this are actually willing to take away our money, right? I mean, that's something that a lot of people, that's really, that's freedom. I mean, in a sense, and if on the physical level, if we don't have any money or we don't have ways to buy food and get anything, then we're pretty much reduced to dependence. And that's how we lose our sovereignty. And so, the fact that they, in Canada, they were willing to show their hand in a way, to show that they're willing to just take away your source of funds. If you go against the government narrative, that was really very telling. And I think that woke a lot of people up. That was kind of like, in the terms of the Matrix, that was kind of like giving the whole society a red pill, right? Now you see the government is not your friend. The banks are not your friend. They're your friends as long as you don't question anything, right? But as vegans, our whole life is about questioning the official narratives. So they can say, well, if you're going to go vegan like they did, they've done this before. I mean, this happened in Europe a few hundred years ago. If you don't eat meat, yeah, we're going to throw you in jail. You know, if you're a vegan, we're going to cut off your money. You know, we're going to whatever. So, or if you question the vaccination narrative, or if you question the war narrative now it's the war narrative. If you question the Ukrainian-Russian thing, then you must be a traitor. I mean, there's all of these, from my point of view, quite honestly, complete lies that are being spewed that we have to believe. But I think in this, to answer your question, Anne, in this case, there wasn't that many millions of dollars given. It wasn't quite such an embarrassing situation for the U.S. government and for the whoever's behind all that. So I didn't hear any problem with them having their funds stolen or misdirected. But it is happening a lot. I mean, I hear about it all the time. People who are questioning the COVID narrative and they're accepting donations on PayPal, PayPal just shuts them off. This happens. This has been happening for the last couple of years. For more than a couple of years. It's been happening for quite a while. So we also, of course, have some friends who have, like I have a friend who has a Russian business. He sells Russian foods and Russian crafts. And if PayPal, as soon as this thing started with Ukraine, PayPal cut them off. You know, you can't send them any money anymore because they're Russian. You know, Russia's the enemy. Right? I've got to hate the Russians. So, and they're even changing the narrative now, from what I can tell, that anyone who questions the COVID narrative or anyone who questions anything is probably a Russian asset, or has probably been brainwashed by the Russians, or we're all Russian. You know, if you're a vegan, you may be a Russian or whatever. It's going to go to that, you know, anyone who we've got this enemy and so we can demonize, and then anyone who questions anything must be part of that same influence by Russians. And Homeland Security actually just came out in February with a new directive saying that the number one domestic terrorists that are the most dangerous are individuals and small groups of people who are spreading misinformation about health, and who are dangerous to society because they question governmental positions. I mean, so basically anyone who questions the official pharmaceutical narrative is now being called by the Department of Homeland Security the number one terrorist threat to the United States. And I think it's important to understand this. I think a lot of vegans really still have blinders on about, I don't see how vegans couldn't know this, but that the U.S. government, and really I think virtually most of all the governments, are not on our side when it comes to liberating animals or liberating humans. They're just on the opposite. They've been captured by the big money and the media, and that's also captured the media, as I've been saying. So now we have situations really that are very dangerous, right? I mean, I remember back in the 1980s, when I was getting my PhD at Berkeley, we were out in the streets protesting against nuclear war buildup, against the possibility of nuclear annihilation. It was very emotional. It was really a big thing. The fact that Russia had nuclear, I remember Ron Dellums, he was our congressman from Berkeley, and we loved him. He was great. He was saying, the United States and Russia, Soviet Union, back then it was Soviet Union, are like, two men standing in a room full of gasoline, up to their necks in gasoline. Each one of them has a match and saying, well, I'm going to light this if you do. we should disarm. We should live in peace together. And that's what we got to do. That was the Democratic Party. It's about peace. It's about not having war, not having a big war budget. Oh my gosh, what's happened? I mean, now the Democrats are the biggest warmongers I've ever seen in my life. Anyone who questions the war is a traitor. And what's going on here? And now we're much closer to nuclear war than ever happened. And people just seem to be completely nonchalant about it. Like, well, good, let's have a nuclear war. Why not? with Russia. I mean, they deserve it. So I have to say, on one level, I've never seen such a dangerous time in terms of complete insanity of the ruling class, and it seems to have been captured by some kind of dark entity. But again, I think we all know that we need to have a grassroots movement of liberation, which is the vegan movement, because we always get the leaders we deserve, right? I mean, if you can't have people who are basically asleep, not having corrupt leaders, or people who are not compassionate and kind and awake, we'll probably have leaders that are going to exploit them. So we have, instead of trying to change the leaders, we have to change ourselves, and we have to. That's why I love the trucker movement, because. And these other grassroots movements, because they're really about the same thing the vegan movement is about. It's about raising awareness, honoring the freedom of and sovereignty of individuals, and not allowing tyranny, not allowing individual beings to be harmed and enslaved and exploited and tracked and treated as commodities, basically. Whether it's us or whether it's animals, we as vegans, I think we have to protect human freedom just as much. And that's been a real issue, in our movement. I mean, I've seen it everywhere. I mean, as we travel around, I know when we go to these cities, I know there's probably a lot of vegans who they're not going to come out and come to me, hear me lecture, because they never liked the fact that I didn't go along with Biden and the Democrats and wear a mask. And get vaccinated like Michael Greger and all the other ones did, and so they're furious, like, well, who is this guy? He doesn't go along with the program, and you're dang right, I'm not going along with the program. So, but it's amazing to me how many. I mean, I just I whatever. But the good news is there's always in every city there's always a nice healthy group of people who are open to both veganism and freedom, which to me seems like they go together completely. So I'm so grateful for that. Our really close vegan friends over the years, we all ended up on the same side of the chasm, this kind of chasm that separated everybody.
You know how glad we are, Will, that you did not go along with that program.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
I mean, it's really so special to have you and this group of people that are awake. They're vegan and can see what's going on. It's just.
Yeah, I know. It's to me, it's so obvious that everything, I mean, I've been in Russia, I've been in Ukraine, and seeing what people are saying about about the situation there and just how polarizing it is and how people's rational and critical faculties seem to have just are lost, and they just like this tribal, it kind of reminds me of 1984, you know, when they would have the 5 minutes of hate, you know, everybody would get together and hate, and I'll bond on hating or something. I mean, it's really happening. You know, we're all going to hate this new evil that we think. And of course, they never talked about what the United States did to the people in Iraq or in Yemen or in Syria or in Afghanistan and Libya. I mean, all that. Oh, no, we don't talk about that. So now all of a sudden we're so righteous and holy, and they're the bad ones over there. It's like I say in the World Peace Diet, it's the shadow archetype playing itself out, you know, and if we're going to eat animal foods and be violent and dominating towards billions of beings, then we're going to shut down our own awareness about that and become obtuse and not make the connections. But then we're also going to project it and see it in other people, and they're the bad ones. And then we're going to build bombs and attack them. And now we have nuclear weapons, and now we have gigantic, massive surveillance systems. So we need to really go vegan. I mean, it's so important. I think it's never been more important ever than to bring this message of compassion for all living beings to the world and actually live it. And yet in this kind of strange way, it seems like we've never been farther away from that actually being a reality. You know, you know, in 2019, 2018, I was really feeling pretty positive. And I actually, you know, I still feel positive, but it just seems like the last couple of years with this whole COVID fraud that they kind of completely, showed how easily manipulated human beings can be with fear, and showed that they can just take away our money, and take away our rights, and take away our religion, take away everything, and people will just whimper a little bit, or they'll even like enthusiastically go along with it and yell at anyone who questions it. I mean, that's incredible. So the dark side of that is that's going to happen again, right? I mean, it's not over. I mean, right now the COVID narrative, they've switched it. They switched it over to a war thing. But for sure in the fall, or at some point here in the next few months, we'll have another super deadly thing, and they'll take away everybody's freedom again. And it'll be, so they've learned how to do it more effectively. And the question is whether we've learned not to comply. Absolutely never, ever, 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 ever comply. I mean, as a vegan, I don't comply when people say, oh, come on. You know, just have a little bite of cheese, have a little bite of egg. It's not going to hurt anybody. Come on, just comply. It's a social mandate. Everybody does it. No, I don't comply. I don't comply with tyranny. I don't comply with lies and violence and complete, it's a deception. And so I think, if we comply with deception, you know, like Gandhi said it very well. You know, he said that truth heals the soul and lies destroy the soul. I mean, there's something really deep about that. I mean, lies destroy our soul. If we live by lies, and that's what Putin said. Putin said the West is an empire of lies. And he's right. The West is an empire of lies, and we're in it. And so whatever they say about Putin, we're the ones that are the violent ones, actually, in this case, from my point of view. So I think hopefully, I mean, ultimately the truth will win. And that's what I know that. I mean, ultimately, there's only one power. And so the whole idea is for us in this short time we're on this earth not to be afraid. We're just here for a few days, a few years, do our dance, do it well. Because when we leave here, we're going to be looking back and thinking like, what did I stand up for while I was here? That's what's going to matter. That's what matters in the big picture. This is an incarnation. We're on a stage, and what is our statement going to be? Right? And that's the thing. And how do we work together with others to help awaken everybody? So we can clearly see that there's a massive obstacle here, that there's a real war, like Judy said, against humanity right now. And we have to learn to be discerning. That's what vegans are, right? Veganism is about discerning. We look beyond the surface and we see what's actually happening. And we don't just believe what they're saying. Like, you know, and it's very confusing. I mean, I understand. It's hard to tell sometimes. And even in the vegan world, there was someone last night who asked me the question, what about plant-based? What do you think of plant-based? And, you know, she was talking about plant-based, the fact that this word plant-based is starting, it's being really promoted. In fact, I remember we were just a few hours ago, we were driving along a highway, I think it was 85 in rural Georgia somewhere, and there was this big billboard. It said 100% plant-based milk, and it's called Not Milk. So there's this new milk, it's called Not Milk, and they're promoting, it's got millions of dollars behind it. But it's like, what is this stuff, this not milk? Plant-based milk. Well, like, well, what the heck is it? Does anybody know? I mean, I'm not sure. But it's not almond milk. It's not oat milk. It's not soy milk. It's not coconut milk. It's not any plant you can name. It's just, what is it? You know, like, what is it? And like these burgers, and there's so many vegan, so-called vegan, they don't call it vegan, though. They call it plant-based. Foods that are factory foods made with GMO ingredients that are really unhealthy, that they're, and I think what they're doing, what's happening is that, you know, we've been working for decades to build the vegan movement as a movement of health, of freedom, of sustainability, of liberation, compassion. And then these infiltrators are coming into our movement with huge amounts of money as philanthropic organizations. They gave like $1 million to Mercy for Animals. Mercy for Animals always said, no eggs, don't eat eggs, eggs are violence. And they gave Mercy for Animals $1 million and said, promote free-range eggs. And Mercy for Animals said, okay, everybody, eat free-range eggs. I mean, they just went right along with it. They didn't even question it. Same with the Humane Society. You know, you give people money and they'll do whatever you say. They'll just tell, because the loyalty shifts when people went like, I'm an activist for the animals. I don't have any organization. So I can't be bought out. But if you create an organization, then people, their loyalty shifts from the animals to the organization. They think, well, my organization is great. So the money is good. So we'll promote free range. I mean, that's better than caged eggs. So all right, we'll promote it. And so this infiltration has been going on, and now it's really going with plant-based foods, I think. I mean, you know, I'm still trying to figure it out, but it looks like these milks and meats and so forth, they're factory foods that are very unhealthy, filled with chemicals and genetically engineered foods. So we've been, as vegans, we've been building social capital for decades to create a movement that people trust and respect for health and freedom. Now you've got all these people infiltrating and stealing that social capital that we've been building and saying, look at these plant-based foods. They're great. It's like vegan, you know, and yet what does it do to people? Does it make them more sick than ever? I think it probably does. I mean, we're promoting beans and grains and nuts and seeds and vegetables and fruits and healthy food and decentralized way of living, minimalism, harmony with the earth. And yet you have these gigantic corporations like Bill Gates. You know, he is far from being a vegan. He eats huge amounts of meat. He's like got a gigantic environmental footprint. He could care less about, he makes his money from GMO foods, and people and vegans love him. They say, oh, he's promoting plant-based. He's our friend. You really think so? You think he's your friend? I mean, this is how gullible and insouciant people in our movement can be, and people in general are, unfortunately, that we don't have discrimination, discernment to see that these people are leading us in a direction of enslavement to make us more sick and to have genetically engineered environments all around us that are toxic and then vegans aren't healthy anymore, right? And so people that are eating plant-based, you're eating this stuff that's full of fat and it's full of who knows what chemicals and things. How are you going to be really healthy eating those foods? So I think all of these things are something just to think about, to look deeply into, to question, and to realize that unfortunately the media and the money keep benefiting forces that are not in the best interest of animals or future generations. And so my point of view as vegans, we're a grassroots movement, and it's really about speaking the truth as best we can, no matter what no matter what the others are saying, and just doing the best we can to understand this and share these ideas. So I hope that all kind of tie, I think that kind of does tie together. We have a few more minutes. Does anyone have any things they want to share? That was a, kind of a long thing, but any ideas or things you want to share about that? There are a few other things I was wanting to talk about as well on the resources, but that was one of the things that came up last night. And I think people are really rightfully concerned about healthy eating as vegans. And I would say stay away from processed foods as much as possible. You don't know what's in those foods. And as much as possible, grow the food yourself, because, you know, what we've been hearing, there's even talk of putting chemicals and who knows what vaccination kind of substances in, you know, right into produce, for example, if it's not organic, or even if, I don't know, maybe even if it is organic. So, you know, I think we have to understand that we have to be savvy and question everything that the mainstream is bringing our way. There's been things going on for decades. I haven't talked about it too much, but I've been aware of it. You know, the fluoridation of the water, the chemtrails in the sky, the massive numbers of pesticide, herbicide, and fungicides that are sprayed everywhere. The fact that the CDC absolutely does not ever find a cause of disease being chemicals, toxic chemicals, or electromagnetic radiation, or chemtrails, or fluoride. They always find it's a virus, right? It's always it's a virus. I mean, you know, from the research I've done, the whole field of virology is nothing but a gigantic scam, basically, to keep Big Pharma in business. I mean, I know that sounds kind of extreme to say, but there's even virologists who are actually saying that. So I think we have to understand that, you know, I know it. I mean, I got a PhD at Berkeley, and I understand when you go through an educational process that takes you right up to the very top, you're in a club, and you'll, at that point, you put in so much time and so much effort, you'll do whatever they say to be part of that club, because you know you're set for life. You'll get jobs, you'll have respect, you'll have a high status, you'll have money. They just suck you right in. I mean, that's just how it is. And so there's very few people, like Abraham Lincoln said, he said, you give people, if you really want to test someone, you know, you give them power. You know, you give them that, you know, and people, they'll take it. And as vegans, I think it's our job to really question everything, question literally everything, and including a lot of the vegan doctors who are going along with all this stuff and other people. You know, I don't want to divide the movement, but if we won't have a movement, if we just go along with the Big Pharma, Big Pharma is the biggest enemy the animals ever had by far. And they train Big Pharma. I mean, think of the vivisection labs. Think what Gandhi said. I mean, Gandhi was so against violence to animals. He said vivisection is the most hideous thing there ever is. You take, you know, torturing animals. You're teaching people to be psychopaths. You're teaching people to be psychopaths, sociopaths, to just torture animals for science. And then we're doing that by the millions. I mean, vivisection is huge still. And then out of that comes vaccination. I put in here what Gandhi said. I mean, I just think he's right. He said, vaccination is a barbarous practice and one of the most fatal of all the delusions current in our time. Conscientious objectors to vaccinations should stand alone, if need be, against the whole world in defense of their convictions. You know, because when you understand what these things are, they're putting toxic chemicals right into your veins. you have no defense, right? I mean, it's not like you're not, it just goes right in. So I think this is a guarantee that they have for reliable profits in the future. You get people sick. You just wipe out. And it's true. I mean, Robert F. Kennedy's pointed this out over and over again, that back in the day, like when I was a kid before 1987, I think, when they took away all liability for the pharmaceutical industry for vaccinations in 1987, they just passed the law that no matter what happens, you don't have to worry about liability. So before that, people only got 3 or 4 vaccinations. Now kids are getting up 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 vaccinations. And the rate of chronic disease has gone from like less than 10% to like 52% now. So chronic, you know how much money Big Pharma makes on chronic disease? Why do people have all this chronic disease all of a sudden? Toxic chemicals in the air, the water, and in vaccinations. And now, I mean, so if we've got to wake up here. I mean, really. And we're not going to have a movement if people don't free themselves. If people don't have a free mind and a free body that's healthy and strong to stand up and speak for animals. You have to be healthy to have a movement. You can't have a movement if you have a bunch of sick people who can't get out of bed, who can't think straight, who have brain fog. How can you have a movement? Nothing happens. That's what they want. They want people who can barely function. Autism is just skyrocketing. You got so many autistic people, or people have to take care of autistic people. Well, then there's not going to be any movement for justice or anything if we're all sick. You know, so that's what I think is so important. Being healthy, you know, we have to really take responsibility for our health and read labels and question everything, absolutely everything. And I'm ashamed of a lot of the vegan doctors who don't do that at all, really. I mean, T. Colin Campbell is one of the only ones. He's not a doctor either. That's why. Joel Kahn is, you know, about the very few that actually speak the truth. And I understand they would lose their license probably. That's the thing, you know. So this is the world we live in.
Well, at Hippocrates, yeah, though, they're talking along these lines, right?
Yeah, Hippocrates talks along these lines, but there's no doctors there.
I thought Brian Clement was an MD.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, are you kidding? Yeah, no. No, I mean, he tries to hire doctors to be on staff.
I saw.
And they a doctor will last 1 or 2 months and then they quit. You know, because they could lose their job, you know, because he's doing stuff that's out of the box, mm-hmm, and they could lose their job. So it's very difficult for doctors. Mm-hmm. Now, Florida is one of the only states. Luckily, he's in Florida. I mean, that was a miracle. He ended up in Florida, but doctors, there's laws and regulations being passed now that any doctor, or even I think even nurses, who question the official narratives from the CDC can just lose their license. The state regulatory boards will do that. So doctors are terrified to speak up for the most part. Some of them do, and they do really have a terrible time. I mean, they get absolutely, you know, they get slammed. They get really verbally abused. They lose, very often they do lose their jobs and their incomes. You know that. So, you know, Brian is dancing, Hippocrates Institute, he's dancing a very fine line between the state regulatory boards and giving tests to people when they come in. And, you know, and so many people don't know. They're afraid. People are afraid of each other getting germ, you know. This whole thing has created this whole mass of germaphobes, right? Everybody's a germaphobe. Everybody's afraid of germs and believe things that aren't true. People just believe all these things that are not true and are therefore terrified of each other. And it's amazing to me that the people haven't had more resilience and resistance to that, but I do think it's building. I think people are realizing they've been lied to this whole time. Did you see? I hope you've got to watch the Saturday Night Live. You know what I mean? The Saturday Night Live one. I put it in the resources. You have to watch it. I couldn't believe it was on Saturday Night Live. That's mainstream media, but it just shows people talking about You mean the masks didn't work? And, you know, it's kind of like, we wore masks for 2 years for nothing. Are you kidding me? Yeah, it's really funny. I think you should watch it. To me, it's like the final curtain of the COVID narrative has been drawn in many ways. Judy sent me that link to Ron DeSantis, who had some top doctors like Peter McCullough and some other ones. And they really, if you watch that, it's like there's every single aspect of the COVID pandemic was a lie. I mean, the PCR tests, the alternative, ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and lots of other things that could easily have taken care of it, and the masking and the social distancing and the lockdowns. I mean, all of it just did nothing but transfer wealth from the lower and middle classes into the wealthy elite. And it just shattered families, caused suicide, destroyed lives, terrified everybody, took away freedoms, did nothing but just shred the fabric of society and destroy. And these people should all be in jail. And what did this guy, this Canadian doctor, said? They locked us down. Now let's lock them up. I mean, that's really what has to happen. They need to be locked up, because it was absolute, amazing, criminal killing of millions of people and destruction of economies and taking away of freedoms that I don't know if we'll get them back in our lifetimes unless we have a massive change. But right now, of course, everything is going toward a nuclear war with Russia, right? And so they're creating that. So we have to, realize again, there's the animal agriculture foundation is insanity. It's violence and insanity. And we can't really work with that. We need to create a new foundation of veganism, what that really is, of love and respect for all life, and just live it. Just live it and have eyes wide open and see what's happening. And stay awake and stay alive. Stay alive and stay healthy and speak your truth and don't comply with tyranny. That's what I think is our assignment for the next year or a few months anyway, as these things are going. And each one of us, of course, doing it in our own way and finding our own way to do it, because we all have our own unique path with this whole thing. So it's quite a challenge, I think. But I think the most important thing is to keep our vibration high, because what this animal agriculture and the cult in general wants, they want people at a low vibratory level where people are afraid and nervous and so forth. And then we're easily controlled. So if we keep our vibration high and we wake up every morning and we're grateful and we feel a lot of love and joy and creativity and we have a purpose, nothing can stop us. We are powerful. The individuals are far more powerful. Awakened individuals are more powerful than any group of demented people. And so I think just keep everybody take responsibility to keep your vibration and your awareness vibrating in truth. Connect with the truth that you are an infinite, eternal spiritual being, and others are as well. And don't let anything pull you down. Don't let these lies and the fear get us, because that's the truth. And from that level, nothing can stop us ultimately. And that's where I think our real power actually lies. And it's always there. It's always there for us to connect with it. Thank you, Judy, for sharing your adventures with us. Does anyone else have anything here? I know there's probably lots of things that I've said that have maybe prompted some thoughts and feelings. And we can all process those, of course, in our own way. But if anyone wants to share anything, that would be great. I'm open to that. Just raise your hand or speak up if you'd like to. And I'm looking to see if there's anything in the comments. There's a few things, some links here. That's good. Please definitely, I just want to squeeze this in here, and then I'll open it to Lisa. Just please definitely, if you can, look through the resources. I know it's maybe a little daunting. I get so carried away sometimes with these resources, but there's a lot of videos that came out in the last month of me and doing some interviews. One with Janine Bancroft. She's great. She's from Canada, And that they put it up, she put it up on YouTube, but she knew it would be taken down because it questions the official narrative. So it's only like the first 4 minutes is in YouTube, and then you have to switch over to Odyssey, or you can listen to the audio. And there's some other, two other videos. And then also Judy Carman has one, and Julie Griffin has a couple of beautiful videos. And The Golden Rule in Action by Judy and Julie. There's quite a few. And also our new friends, Moshe and Diana, have a new website, What is Veganism? I highly recommend check that out. And they talk about the World Peace Diet in there and the connection between spirituality and veganism. So that's great to see these new resources coming up that can help everyone. So there's quite a lot of good information. There's this good article here called Animal Protection Parasites by Steve Hindy. He talks a lot about some of what I've been saying, the way that there are certain parts of our animal rights movement or the vegan movement that siphon off funds and by deceiving people. And again, we're called to be conscious and to be discriminatory in a positive way. And then there's a bunch of stuff about what's been happening in the COVID arena, as well as the trucker movement, as well as the whole globalist agenda with the wars. I mean, there's just a huge amount of stuff you can enjoy and hopefully learn from if you have time. There's really a lot happening and a lot of good information coming out everywhere. I can't even begin to keep up with it. I'm sure you're all aware of the same thing. It's kind of like, as they say, drinking from a fire hose, you can just try to take in a little bit of it, but there's a lot of people doing a lot of good work. So let's see, we have hands up. Lisa? Yes.
That's a pedo. Thank you. Thank you for the talk. It will always feel very, therapeutic hearing you, and being with, this like-minded, vegan group. For me, I'm very concerned, coming from China, a communist, tyranny, regime, and seeing the news about, China locking down 17 million.
Right.
People in, just one region. And just like really recent, right? And, there's talk in Washington state, about, pushing some bills to, lock down take the unvaccinated people to concentration camps. I'm really concerned that, the U.S. is learning from China. the really coming down on the unvaccinated, people descending to the mandate. I see articles online, about saying, the FEMA camps are the concentration camps that will be used to lock down people who are anti-vaxxers like us. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, no, that'll happen if we comply. If people comply, they'll just keep, that'll happen. I mean, that I think will happen. And it is very disturbing, I would say, to see that now in China, there's this huge lockdown. And that's basically a message. They can do this again. I mean, it works. So it's like, you go to Las Vegas and you hit the jackpot, you make millions of dollars. Like, let's do it again. Let's do it again. Let's have another one. Why not? Take away more freedoms, make more money, lock people down more. Tyrants have always loved wars, right? They always steal people's freedom and their money whenever there's a war. They've always loved, and what they've discovered is that health, right? Health sounds so positive, right? Health, everybody wants health. They can use health to completely destroy you, destroy society, say, well, you don't care about the health of other people. You're contagious. I mean, they use this contagion. To me, it's a total myth. that I, as a healthy person, can make somebody sick, right? That I, as an unvaccinated, sovereign, healthy being, can make somebody else sick, even if, and especially someone who's vaccinated, right? They've already been vaccinated. How can I make them sick? I'm healthy. I mean, the fact that people actually go along with this is absolutely insane. We're like in an insane asylum, really. So that's what's happening. I mean, people have been so dumbed down by animal agriculture and education by tyrants. You know, school is nothing but an indoctrination into authority tyranny. I would, if I had a kid, I would never in a million years send him to a state school of any kind, because he just destroyed their spirit and everything. It's terrible what's happening now. It was bad enough when I was a kid, but it's a lot worse now. So I think, yeah, what you're saying, you know, if people don't resist, then these things, and you know, these things will happen. Governor Inslee and Newsom, they're like Trudeau. Now, these people are all World Economic Forum people that have been trained. They've been inserted into governmental positions. They don't have any loyalty to people. They have loyalty to an agenda that's coming from the top of the pyramid. And that's what's happening. You know, it's already been taken over. So, yeah, we have to just not comply. That's it. And do the best we can to question these things. And the fact that you, as you say, coming from China, where the social credit system's in place and a lot of other things that really, you know, from our point of view, just kind of just destroy the capacity that we have to be independent and create a movement for the liberation of animals and so forth. It's really very concerning. So yeah, I think we have to just be aware. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I also want to say that I watched this video where in China the police actually go lock on doors on the citizens command them, force them to leave their home behind, all their belongings behind, and take them away to the concentration camps. So that is like my nightmare of seeing that happen in here in the U.S.
Is that because they're not vaccinated? Is that
yeah.
why they're doing?
Mm-hmm. They're not vaccinated, and they because in China they know everybody's status, right? Because you have to report in, and they know who got the shot and who don't. And so they actually knock on doors and tell, hey, you have to, we are on a lockdown, so you are coming to the concentration camp. They call it the re-education camp.
Yeah, right. Re-education.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that's
really,
you're a vegan, so we have to re-educate you now. So that you learn the right way of
that
living.
That brings yeah. back a memory of, because I was born during the Cultural Revolution. And
wow.
1969, actually, when that happened. And I totally have flashback of that's what the government did to people back then during the Cultural Revolution. Is they just do everything. They just rent people's houses and just do everything. Just loot everything that they, whatever they could do. They don't care. There's no laws at all. So it's like people just so afraid and run for their lives and hide. When my mom went back from the city, went back to the countryside.
Wow.
Just to run away from these government officials.
Right. Wow. Yeah, well that yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. It's we have a constitution which, you know, my ancestors lit in Concord, Massachusetts, and you know, back there they were giving their lives fighting for basic freedoms and for a government with constitutional rights of assembly. And the right to have arms and the right to, not that I have any guns, but anyway, just that right and the right for freedom of speech and religion and of the press and of assembly and bodily autonomy and so forth. And it's just amazing to me that we have people, especially Democrats, liberals, saying, oh, the Constitution gets in the way. You know, we shouldn't have these constitutional rights. They're dangerous. These rights are dangerous. People can make each other sick, you know, so we should get rid of these rights because they're dangerous. I mean, we have to understand what's happening, that we're walking into a trap, really. And we're blindfolded, and money somehow has been able to completely brainwash people in the West. And thank you, as a person from China, to warn us, really, about what's happening, because a precious human life, the possibility of a precious human life to grow spiritually, if you don't have a free society, you can't do it. If you're born into slavery, like animals are born into slavery, you know, like a cow or a pig or a chicken, she's born into the jungle or into nature. She can live her life. She's born onto a factory farm, and her purpose is stolen, and it's not a good life. Well, that can happen to us. We can be born into slavery, and we don't even, and it's been happening more and more. It's creeping. It's like it's creeping in more and more. And as we get born into it, we would lose it, like you're saying. And so that's why we have to be more vigilant. And there's a lot to this. We're kind of at the end of our time, so I can't say anything more. But thank you so much, Lisa, for bringing that up. Yeah, we really are at the end of our time. I see. But go ahead, Deborah. I'd like to. You had your hand up too, so.
Yes, this is just real quick. I'm embarrassed, but I have forgotten how to get to the resources, and I thought some others might also want that information.
Okay, the way you get to the resources, I mean, there's a link. I send it out by email, but my emails don't get through. If you're not getting my emails, send me an email to willtuttle@earthlink.net, and I will put you in the system again. That's all I can do, and because I think it somehow ended up going to your spam, or something happened. It's getting blocked. But what you do is, I'll tell you right now. It's you go to. There's a link, and I'll put it right now in the chat, but it's basically pretty simple. It's just worldpeacemastery.com and then /circle/conference.html. I mean, that's the link. That has everything. It has all the resources. It has all the audio recordings from when we started doing this way back in 2011, you know, so it's got like over 10 years. It's right there. So that's the link. That's the magic link. And I'll put it right here. And,
got it. Thank you.
I'm trying here. Oh gosh, I can't seem to. Okay. Wait, here we go. All right. Put that right there. So the link is in the chat. That's the link if you want to copy it.
Okay.
And that, it's kind of a secret link, you know, because, it's just for us World Peace Diet facilitators. but it's got everything there, all of the recordings, all the resources, and you can always go there. All right. So Madeline is, here joining me. It's time for us to have our closing. It's been a great party as usual. I'm sorry I didn't have more good news. I mean, to me, it's all good news ultimately. We're definitely going to win this. And the human spirit is indomitable. It's really, we definitely will win. So just remember that, and let's come from that point of view of love and healing and kindness and blessing all beings, and not allow our spirits to be shackled. So this is, we know the words, you know the drill here. So go ahead and feel free to unmute yourself if you'd like. Just unmute, and we'll say our prayer together. So let's do that.
Passion circles the earth, all beings everywhere.
Again?
Compassion circles the earth, for all beings everywhere.
Wow. Wow, you're getting good. One more time with feeling.
Compassion. Circle for all beings everywhere.
Love you. Thanks so much, everyone. Go forth and multiply.
Thanks, Will.
Thank you so much.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you so much, Will.
Bye. Love you all.
God bless you all.
Bye.
I left your voicemail.
Thank you. Thanks.
Much love.